Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 1, 1, 2, and 3. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 1. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 119, beginning with verse 113 and through 128. Psalm 119, verses 113 through 128. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, and which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting and the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, and nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything, and that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, and that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. And thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. I have done judgment and justice Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, and that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. DePuter, who has come home from the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, we may gather together again. It is thy Sabbath day. It is the joy and the rejoicing of the heart of thy people. By nature a burden, and by grace a delight. For then there is an expectation, and when we may come up to thy house, and that the Lord may be in our midst, and that we may receive a blessing. And Lord, thou knowest that we have gone from commandment to commandment. In thy holy word. And thou knowest all that lives in our heart and our life. Oh, who can put his hand in his own bosom and take it out clean? For our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day. But wilt thou show us mercy and take our guilt away? And therefore look upon us in this day. Then it is necessary that our eyes do go open, and that we may be given to see something of all that lies within, and of all that comes forth from us moment by moment, that it is a stench in thy holy nostrils. And then we come up to thy holy house. We gather around thy holy word. Oh, give us then a place of reverence before thy dread majesty. Give us a place of humility. Open our eyes to show us who and what we are. And do make room and place in our hearts for thy dear Son, who is come to seek and to save that which is lost, and whose blood has been shed upon that cursed tree for the putting away of the guilt and of the pollution of sin. Lord, remember us as a people. Look upon us as a congregation. Look upon us as families. Look upon us as individuals. Look upon us as a denomination. For there are so many reasons for which we ought to be concerned, and for which our hearts do tremble. O Lord, we beseech thee, have thou your dealings with us. O that we may search ourselves this day, to look within and without, whether we are not the cause, and that thou may give us true repentance, to turn us again, that we may walk in all thy ways, that we may turn unto thee, that our hearts may be reformed, that thy truth may penetrate, and that thy dear Son may be so necessary, that he may become so precious to us, for the putting away of our sin, for the prophet did come to thy servant, and he did say, thou art the man. And then he had to acknowledge, I have sinned against the Lord. Oh, then it was possible that it may be declared unto him, the Lord has also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. And Lord, that is what we all need. Each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, we all need that same thing. Oh, convert us then. Convert us for the first time. And convert us by renewal. Do look upon all thy children. Bring them again. Oh, bring them from the ways of sin, wherein they also so often do stray, to leave the days without number, and from which they are not able to bring themselves back. Oh, use thy word, and look upon us with our children, our youth in the days which they do grow up, a day wherein Satan is so deceitful, and where so many are taken by it. O Lord, preserve us, keep us, watch over us, protect us altogether, and cause us to walk on that straight and that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Preserve thy truth. O thy truth that we have received from thee in thy holy word, also by the hands of our forefathers who have given their life, their own blood, and for its preservation. Oh, make us diligent to know that truth. Make us bold and faithful to preserve that truth. Give us to experience it also in our own hearts, that it may become precious to each and every one of us, and that it may be preserved for the sake of our dear children. And deal not with us as we so justly deserve. Look on all thy truly sent servants. Increase their number. And look upon them also in this day. Help in the bringing of thy word. Look on all the afflicted and the sick ones. We remember especially her, and that was brought again after being in the hospital. And Lord, thou knowest all her needs. Wilt thou continue to spare her? For her husband and children. And could it please thee to bind this also upon her heart? Oh, bless and sanctify such ways in the midst of us to young and old. Be with those that are in the nursing homes. Also from among us who have grown old, many difficulties and frailties of the body. Those who are often in their own homes shut up. And the weakness and the frailty, Lord, help. And could it please thee to remember also in the end of life? Look on us, Lord, this hour. Oh, show us now how to do this. For thou knowest all the turmoil of our heart. Lord, that thou would stand on our right and on our left. Oh, give us to know thy way, and give us a love that does boil over for the souls of our people. Bind us together, and could it please thee to bless and to sanctify thy own word, forgiving all of our many, many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 438, stanzas 3 and 4, God's law. A perfect whole is saving to the soul, and every secret tries, his testimony sure, whichever shall endure will make the simple wise. 3 and 4 of Psalter 438. as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Who was a congregation, it was the Lord. And to whom did the Lord speak? The Lord spoke to the angel, to the minister of the church of the Laodiceans. And that rebuke that minister had to bring in the midst of his own congregation. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. But because that thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It is, congregation, not always an easy thing to be a minister. Indeed, that is often a very blessed task. But it is also a task which by times is very, very difficult. What is the task of a minister? The Apostle Paul has written to Titus, and he has said to him that is in his ministry, he had to speak, he had to exhort, and he had to rebuke. And now it is what is the most difficult part of his task. It is not so unpleasant to speak. It is not so unpleasant to exhort. But now to rebuke. To rebuke, that is, congregation, not an easy thing for us. And why not? Because if there is one thing that we see in you, then when we are honest with ourselves, there are 1,000 things that we see in ourselves. So that when we begin to open our mouth in rebuke of others, then that voice that is there, you hypocrite, cast out first the beam that is in thine own eye. And then thou shalt see clearly that you may cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. And yet, congregation, to rebuke, that is part of that task, and that is given unto God's servants. And then we have to say that we have not called ourselves unto this work. But how now to do this faithfully? How now to do this in the right manner? How now to do this in the way of love? Then you understand that we need much of the guidance of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. We must come to our point. What is that thing that is bound upon our heart? Well, In this past week, we have seen some of our girls, some of the girls of our own congregation, dressed like men. And congregation, you say, have you not seen it before? Yes. We have seen it before. But congregation, I cannot tell you what went on in my heart in that moment. Maybe it was because we have just spoken of it a few days before to our youth. But what a grief. What a grief was in our heart when we saw it. And then not only so, but then to be informed that probably we are not aware enough of what seems to be the general practice within our own congregation. And congregation, that was to us a grief, we must say it. Now I must be honest. Next month, we hope, if the Lord spares us, to be in your midst for 5 years. And in these 5 years, there was nothing that we have ever felt for one moment of a loosening of the bond that the Lord has laid in our heart unto you. But I must be honest. What I felt, that Satan, he was attacking that bond. Did the Lord allow it to break? No. We may acknowledge him for that. But how was it that he preserved it? With these words, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. Then I said, Lord, oh, let them reject me. Let them not reject thee. Oh, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when we asked the Lord this, those words struck us. For they know not what they do. For they know not what they do. And we are convinced when we walk in such a way that we know not what we do. And then it came to us, why not? You are their minister. How is that possible? That they do not know what they do. Then maybe the fault is your own. Maybe the fault is that you do not blow upon that trumpet as you ought to blow. Then it becomes our guilt. But congregation, that is not an easy thing to speak about. and it is not our desire to speak of it. And it was not our desire. And we thought maybe in the morning you feel better. Maybe in the morning you feel different. And then we have tried to go on with that which was in our heart to bring before you. But congregation, the Lord has closed it. Closed it. And when the Lord closes, no one can open. You know how we felt? Like Balaam. That he did not want to say. To bring that message. That the Lord would have him to bring. And yesterday afternoon, late in the afternoon, then we were still fighting. And we were still rebelling. And finally we had to go on our knees and say, Lord, what is it? What is now that word that thou wilt have us to bring in the midst of our own congregation? Hast thou not promised that thou hast put thy word in our mouth? And we have come up from our knees. And here is what lay open, the word of God. It is there for our text for this morning hour. With the Lord's help, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. So far, the words of our text. David beseeches the Lord to restore order in the midst of confusion. First, for they have made void thy law. Second, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. David beseeches the Lord to restore order in the midst of confusion. First, for they have made void thy law. Second, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. Our theme comes, congregation, actually, from our studies, John Calvin. He summarizes this text in one sentence. He says this: in short, this is a prayer that God would restore to order the confused and the ruinous state of things in the world. We do not know what the circumstances of this psalm are. It has no title. However, most attribute it to David. And there is no reason for us to question the authorship of David. And certainly, David was not ignorant of much turmoil. He was not ignorant of much confusion. Also, within the church, in his own time. For they have made void thy law. What a great blessing, congregation, is a law. What is law for? Law that is for good order. That because God, he is a God of order. Or when we look around us, then we see this order in the creation, how that God has given this order He has given the laws, the natural laws of the creation, so that all of the planets, they are going around one another. Everything that is perfectly in order. We see that also with the animals. God has given them a law too. God has given them the law of instinct. And that law of instinct, they obey. Then God has given laws to man, many laws. Civil laws, ceremonial laws, moral laws. And why a law? Because when there is a law, then there is good order. And God, He is a God of order. Satan, he does just the opposite. He would throw everything into a great confusion. Therefore, the Lord has given laws, and not only laws, but He has given authority upon the earth that men also would make laws for the good of their fellow man. For they have made void thy law. How would it be, congregation, if there was no law? Several times we read in the book of Judges, there was then no king in the land. And every man did what? Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And indeed, there are places in this world that are lawless. There is no one to make laws. There is no one to enforce those laws. And what is then the rule of the land? Might makes right. Whoever is the strongest, they are the ones that are ruling, because there is no law. They have made void thy law. What was the sin of our first parents? It was to make void the law of God. It was rebellion. And that rebellion became manifest when they could not obey a simple command, thou shalt not eat. And now man is born rebellious. Born rebellious. Therefore, we need officers. Officers in the land, that when there are laws, that they must be enforcing those laws that man does not want to keep. Man would destroy himself. Man would destroy all of the society. Man would turn everything, the order, the good order that God has made, man would turn it all upside down. But no. The Lord will have it in good order. They have made void thy law. Psalm 119. That is about what? Do you know, children? That is about the Bible. Psalm 119, that is about the holy scriptures. There are 176 verses. And there is hardly a verse of those 176 that the scriptures, the word of the Lord, is not mentioned. But that is mentioned in a number of different terms. Sometimes we read the word law. Then there is the word testimonies. There is the word precepts. There is the word statutes. There is the word, and so on, more. Thus, each of these, although there are distinctions in each of them, that they have also their own particular meaning. Each of them is, in general, speaking about the Word of God, the law of God. Thus we could read it also, they have made void thy word. They have made void thy statutes. They have made void thy commandments, etc. They have made void thy law. What does that mean? To make void. Oh, that is to frustrate. That is to make it, to make something completely ineffectual. We do that with our checks. One stroke of the hand, we make it void. Then it is completely ineffectual. You can do nothing with it anymore. It has no meaning anymore. It has no purpose anymore. What do we read in the Bible? We read about a father or an husband. When a wife, for example, would make a vow that the husband was allowed to make it void, he had only to speak. And that vow that that wife had spoken, that was void. Thus it was that it had no effect. She had not to fulfill it. There was nothing required of her by man or by God. Because it was made void, it meant absolutely nothing anymore. They have made void thy law. How is that done? That is done when that law that is disobeyed. When that law that is just not heeded. Then we make void that law. That is done when we just go our own way. When we know that that law is there and our conscience is speaking, but we make it void. How is that done? To make void thy law, that is made void when we act as if it never existed. When we just completely ignore it. When we act as if it was never made. Or if we never knew that it was there. Oh, how is that law made void? It is made void when we act as if that law that is not a law, but that is just some advice. That is just a suggestion, not a law. That is something that we may do, or if we have no desire, and then we do not have to do it, then we just make it void. And just as that vow, that means nothing anymore, so that law that is made of none effect, it is broken. It is disregarded. It is forsaken. It is despised. How would that be, fathers? You have lost two in your house. How would that be if they would make void thy law? Your wife, make it void. What you say? Your children, you speak, they ignore, as if you had never said it. They treat it as advice, suggestion. But they do not have to do it. They make void thy law. How would that be, teachers? If in your classroom, they would make void thy law, the children, the young people, and that the school board, the administration, they would not stand behind your law. No, that would just be void. How would that be, employers? Your employee, you say this is what needs to be done. This is how it needs to be done. But it is disregarded. Goes his own way, will not listen. or you will not keep him long. If he will make void thy law, how would that be now in the society? In our society, if the laws of our society, they are made void, if they are disregarded, if they are treated as mere advice, we may obey it or we may not. We may drive on the right hand or we may drive on the left hand. It is just up to everyone. Oh, how would that be in the church? When as office bearers, in our relations, in the congregation, in the denomination, we say, church order? No, we have not to follow it. Congregation, what an offense. What an offense to the rulers. What an offense to the head of the household. What an offense also within society to the confusion, to the overthrowing of society cannot last long anymore. What did David say? He said, they have made void thy law. And whose law is it? It is the Lord's law. It is the Lord's word. And how is it that man does make void the word of God? He denies inspiration. He denies inspiration. He says, no, it was not inspired. And it was made by man. And if it was made by man, then, well, we have a choice. And we can choose what part of that word that we want to obey and what part not. And so we do make void his law. How do we make it void? By exalting tradition. By putting our tradition over the word of God. And when there is a conflict, then we go by tradition and we obey not that word. How do we make void that law of the Lord? Or we do it by a wicked antinomianism. We say, let us do evil that good may come. When we abuse the word of God, when we abuse the grace of God, when we say the Lord, he forgives sin. And because the Lord, he forgives sin, then we do not have to be so strict according to his law. But what does Paul say? Does grace do away with God's law? He says the opposite. He says, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. No, he says, yea, we establish the law. Oh, how do we make void? How do we make void that law of God? Today, you will hear it, young people, when you go to university. What a blessing. That we may have our own instruction in our own families, in our own school. But when you will go off from those places to receive the instruction of this world, then you will come across in what is called skepticism. And skepticism, and that is to be skeptical, that is to question everything. And not only to question everything in the midst of this world, but to question also the word of God. Oh, we must first doubt it. We must first consider whether the opposite is now true. And we must, with our reason, then lay those two things over against each other. And by that very method of skepticism, we do make void the law of God. We do it by our indifference, by our carelessness, when we have no desire to know what that law is, when we have no desire to search the word of God, when we choose to remain ignorant, which is congregation in this world, but also before the Lord, no excuse, because we were not created ignorant. No, we were created in knowledge. And not only in knowledge, but also in righteousness and in holiness. Therefore, how do we make void that law of God? We make that law void through the rebellion of our heart. Because then it is not only ignorance of that law, but it is rebellion against the God who has made that law. Because there is enmity in our heart against Him. Because we do not want to appear before Him. Oh, they have made void thy law. How is that not true, congregation of mankind? How is this not true from the day of the fall, even unto this day, that man makes void the law of God? Oh, how is it possible that God is so long-suffering with us, not only with them, but with you and me? So long-suffering. And when His word and when His law that is trampled under our feet, what an offense. What an offense to His dread majesty. He has made that law. What an offense to good order. That He commands in society. What an offense to His holiness. What an offense to His righteousness. They have made void thy law. The Lord, congregation, He has made a law. It is a law of nature. It is the very law of our creation. The very law of our creation. Thus it has to do with every single person in this whole world. Where do we read that law? We need not go to Exodus 20. But we can begin in Genesis. And there that law of the Lord that is laid down already. That fundamental law of the creation. And what is it? We read this. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. That is, congregation, the very fundamental law of creation, by which you and I exist. Male and female created He them. That is a law of order. That there is a difference between the genders. That is the law of creation, by which the Lord would fill the whole earth with mankind. And that He will fill heaven one day. Fill heaven by this law with those who will magnify and glorify Him to all eternity. He made them male and female. That is the law, the fundamental law of procreation. Because God did not make man as the angels, they are without that law. There is no male and female. Every single one of those angels was created by God and never dies. Not so with mankind. And we read it. Now, to change that law, that fundamental law of our creation, that is to bring an end to the human race. To the human race. That is what we read in Genesis 5. We read, this is the book of the generations. The generations. The generations of Adam. This is it. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, created he him, male and female, created he them and blessed them. And then not only mankind, but also the animals. Because when the Lord would preserve through his judgments all the animals, then what do we read? Then we read that the Lord brought them in two and two. That the Lord brought them in specifically, we read, male and female. That was to preserve the human race and to preserve all of the beasts. Thus, it is not only the law of creation, but it is also the law of preservation. And without that law, the society dies. Thus man, what does he do? Man seeks his own destruction. Male and female created he them, but they have made void thy law. And now there are different modes of transgression concerning this law. We read them in the Word of God. In the law of God, in the precepts of the Lord. All these, the transgression of that fundamental law of creation and preservation, the transgression of these fundamental laws are bound together in the Word of God. They are bound together. They are connected together. And they are connected together how? They are connected together by one word. And what word is that? That is the word abomination. Read it over and over. And you read it that this is the way that the Lord speaks about the transgression of this fundamental law, abomination. Thus the Lord says that when you will turn upside down these laws, that you are to me an abomination. What is that word? That word means a disgusting thing. That you are to me a disgusting thing. Thus it is no light matter. Male and female created he them, but they have made void my law, thy law. How? Let us read it for a moment. First, adultery. That is a transgression of that fundamental law, adultery. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And what does he call it? We read of incest, fornication, In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness? In thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution? And one hath committed abomination, disgusting thing, with his neighbor's wife. And another, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law. And another hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter. We read, if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her, may not take her to be his wife again, after that she is defiled, for that is an abomination, a disgusting thing before the Lord. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, male and female. Created he them, but they have made void thy law. How? Read more. Read of sodomy. Men with men, working those things that are not convenient. And women with women, called the same thing. Abomination. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Again, we read, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. We read elsewhere, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are an abomination, a disgusting thing unto the Lord thy God. A dog, what is that? That is, congregation, a sodomite. That is a pimp. That is a whoremaster. He is called here a dog. And these made their living in such a way. And then they came into the house of the Lord. They would give of their living. The Lord says, I want it not. Because it is an abomination unto me, congregation, man with man, woman with woman. The beasts don't do this. No, the animals, they follow that basic, that fundamental law of the creation over mankind, even the species. And they are kept up by the animals. Male and female created he them, but they have made void thy law. There is more. Oh, how low does man come, even, we read in God's word, to lie with a beast. It is horrific that a man, oh, that creation of God in his image would even have to be warned about such a thing. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Confusion of his law. Male and female created he them. But they may have made void thy law. How? Oh, now the Lord, he says it, also even in their appearance. And the Lord, he has given a special law for our appearance. And he calls the transgression of this law by that same word. And why? Because it is the same sin. Because it is the sin of the confusion of the genders. And therefore the Lord has given a law concerning it. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all who do so are an abomination, a disgusting thing unto the Lord thy God. Let us sing. 138, 1, 2, and 3. Thus speaks the Lord to wicked men. My statutes, why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth? Since ye for wisdom do not care, for ye my holy words profane, and cast them from you in disdain. 1, 2, and 3 of 138. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. What is congregation? The supplication of David. That is for the Lord to work. And why? Because when man will make void the law of God, then what can his fellow man do anymore? David finds himself helpless. He says, Lord, oh, I am weak. I am weak. This day to do anything, and there now there is only one. Oh, it is time, Lord, for thee to work. And what is he asking the Lord? Oh, he asked the Lord to set everything in order again, to make it right again, to set everything that was confusion back again in its rightful place after that the law was made void. And congregation, how does the Lord do that? How does the Lord work to set it in order again? That is in two ways. Now that first way, or we hardly dare to mention it, because it is so awful. But it is in our text. It is the Word of God. And what is that first way? And what does David ask? David asked the Lord to judge the wicked. To judge the wicked. Or he asked the Lord to punish the transgressor. He asked the Lord to give unto him what he deserves. Awful. Why would David now ask the Lord to do such a thing? Does David have enmity in his heart? Does David not know he is a transgressor? He knows it very well. But congregation, there is a love. There is a love in the heart for David for the law of the Lord. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And this is now coming in the foreground, in the heart, in the life of David. That he would see everything set in order as the Lord would have it to be. For the love of his heart unto the Lord. Oh, David says, it is time. Oh, Lord, he says, it is high time. Because this has gone on now so long. And he longs for the day when that would be set straight again. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. But, oh, there is also another way. Oh, and it is a wonder that we may mention also this way that the Lord is working to set it all right again. And what is that way? That is the way of true conversion. Oh, that is the Lord's work. David feels it. He is not able to convince the heart of any man. But he says, oh, Lord, it is now time for thee to work. And when the Lord, he will convert a man, oh, then we will not, oh, we will not any longer set that law of the Lord to the side. No, from that moment, then there is a love in our heart. And when there is any knowledge in our mind what that law really means and the awfulness of that sin, oh, when we are instructed in it, oh, and then we do not want to transgress that law, then we see that is that law by which soon we are going to be judged. Oh, it is that law. And wherein that blessed mediator, he has obeyed. Oh, it is the curse of that law that was laid upon him. Oh, then there is a holy desire that they may come in obedience to that law. Although, we see it over and again in the Word of God, how God's people, they also need so often to be brought again in the right way because of the transgression of that law. It is time for the Lord to work. For they have made void thy law. Congregation, what a world we live in. Oh, in a special way, open your eyes. In a special way, look around you, young people in the world. And I ask you, if this is the truth or no, if in a special way, man today does make void that fundamental law of God's creation and preservation of the human race, male and female, created he them. Marriage that is undermined, marriage belonging to that fundamental law that is overturned in so many ways, God's institution, but man, he is destroying it. All the genders, all mixed up. No more distinction as the Lord commands. The woman, she wants the job of the man. She wants to be his equal, but she is not created to be his equal. No, she is created and given a special place, and she is limited physically, whereby she is not able to perform all her desire. But she does not want to be limited by the law of the Lord when it comes to all her desires. And so she does make void that law of the Lord. Sexual perversion that is dominating the sin of the society that we are living in with our children. Perversion. What is it? It is to turn what is holy into a wrong use. Oh, we see it all the time, young people. Only travel a little. You go on that airplane and you see what is happening between some men and the ladies. And then you see all those television screens and what Satan is putting before the whole world in our day. Awful. Pornography. Masturbation. Oh, man mocks with it. He mocks with it. It is not the remedy that the Lord has made for burning. It is not. Marriage, that is the remedy. And there is an overturning of that fundamental law of the creation and the preservation of that human race. Adultery, homosexuality, there is no end to it. Oh, they made void thy law. How long suffering? How long suffering is the Lord? But now, congregation, do you know what is now the most grieving? Oh, the most grieving is when we see these things, that they are not only out there, but they are coming in here. That is now the most grieving unto us. Oh, that is when the Lord, he is leaving us. Leaving us over to ourselves. It is a judgment.
Paul says, because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, he gave them up to do those things which are not convenient. And then he speaks about such perversions, and we can condemn the world. But what about us? We ought to know better. Oh, how far do we join in these things? The Lord, in his word, he speaks especially of his own people. He says, these things, they shall not be among you. And we read it together. Oh, David, he says, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee. It trembles. He says, I am afraid of thy judgments, O congregation. Do we tremble too? Do we tremble? Are we afraid of the judgments of the Lord? Jeremiah says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Abomination? Oh, he says, nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. He says, there was boldness in it. They could not even blush. And for this, the Lord says, he comes with his judgments. They shall fall among them that fall. Oh, are we not afraid? Are we not afraid to be an offense to God's people? Are we not afraid to be an offense within the church of God? Are we not afraid to overturn God's order of creation? Are we not afraid to blur those distinctions that the Lord himself, he will have to be kept up, male and female, and so make void that law of God? Are we not afraid, congregation, to plan our families? To plan our families? Do you not read what the Lord did to Onan when he refused to raise up seed unto his brother? And when he has overturned, undermined that very law of God, the fundamental law of creation and preservation of the human race, and not only of the human race, but also of his church. Oh, are we not afraid, young people, to take unto ourselves the things of marriage before that they are given unto us? Are we not afraid to bring the judgments of the Lord upon ourselves as individuals, upon our families, upon our congregations, upon our nation? And that is not only the things that are outward, no. It is also those things which are inward. Oh, did you ever make a covenant with your eyes? A covenant with your eyes, as Job. Wherefore then should I look upon a maid? Oh, that we might not make void, disregard also in our heart the law of the Lord. Oh, if we condemn our rulers when they do not uphold the law of the Lord in our land, then what must we not say in condemnation of ourselves? All we, as fathers, in our own homes, we as office bearers, also within the church, all then we have to say our laxity. And how shall then we appear before God? Oh, what does the apostle say? He says, nay, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. This is not the way that we are going to possess the land. Why? Because the Lord says, there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination. O congregation, the Lord give to us that tender fear of his name. That we would say with Joseph, how shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Oh, the Lord give us eyes to see. The Lord give us to turn. Oh, the Lord work not to judge us. Not to judge us, but may the Lord convert us and our children. And may he open unto us that fountain. Oh, may he make that fountain so precious, that is so necessary, that we may be washed, that we may be cleansed, that we may be forgiven all our guilt, and that we may be made holy. Holy, not a disgusting thing, but that we may be made holy in and through the blessed righteousness of his only begotten Son, who has purchased it. He has purchased it, not by making void the law of the Lord, no, but by fulfilling that law of the Lord. And now he is going to bring his bride. Oh, it is not just over natural things, but it is all a picture. And therefore it is such a sin. Oh, his bride, his blessed bride, he is going to take into union with himself, presented, we read, as a chaste virgin unto Christ, O congregation, that we may seek this blessing and that we may not miss it on our way to that great eternity. Amen. O Lord, forgive our many sins, and wilt thou bless thy own word. Oh, we may acknowledge thee, that thou hast brought us through, and that thou hast not put us to shame, but given us yet to know how to speak. And Lord, may we all take it to heart. It is thy own word. Send us away, each one of us ashamed of ourselves, of our sin, outward, inward. And do thou forgive our sins, and cause us to walk in thy law. Bring us safely to our homes, and together with desire again in this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 342. Stanzas 3 and 4, for thy salvation I have longed, and in thy law is my delight. Enrich my soul with life divine, and help me by thy judgments right. 3 and 4 of 342.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.